from Freighter Damon QBLH. The date is March the 4th, 1992, and the place is in Ramona, California, USA. Received your letter today, Peter. I'm glad that your eyes are better. I would suggest that you'd get a computer screen that is not so strong for your eyes. This Motos is right in sending his artworks and so on, Men with Big Cocks. I don't know anything about him or whatever his name is. He seems to be straight, but he sure must have a fixation on cock. He has a black girlfriend who pretends to be the first and only black Thelemi woman on earth. The strange thing about the word Thelema in Greek, if you look up a good Greek dictionary, there's 60 meanings to Thelema. So that's really something, all the way from desire, this and that. I'm not familiar with W.B. Crowe's writings, but I'll keep an eye out for them. I would enclose Jake Kent's letter, but his writing is so small and so difficult to read, it is very difficult to decipher, and I'm just, over the years I've managed to figure out what he's writing about, but he's a very strange writer. It seems like the head of the OAA in England there has retired from any active participation in any of the orders functions there in England now, and Jake Kent and his friends there now seem to be running it, and they plan to put out the Equinox this spring. I ordered a copy from them, so it usually takes about 6 weeks on a boat to get here. I hope you like the latest artwork that I enclosed with the tape cassette to you. I thought the one of the Death's Head skull entitled the Death Trap, the woman's yoni, was quite interesting, and it could become quite a classic in certain circles. Also, the other one is really the Egyptian symbols, and it designates Scorpio with the red rays, and then the dog Anubis. Anubis was quite interesting symbol, and the vulture god above it. I think you mentioned one, Larry, if I knew anything about Nema or Maggie Cook, or some years ago in the 70s, that I was corresponding with her. Her name was Maggie Cook at that time. She is a psychic and brings things through, and I believe is sincere, but what she presents is not does not interest me particularly. Was involved with Grant, and then she fell out with Grant, and then she fell out with the OTO, and then she went back. She told me all her troubles, and she's been married twice since she started writing. I haven't communicated with her for many years, but I think she's all right and sincere, and we remain friends. The tape that I sent you on yoga is really very important for those who are sincere in seeking liberation and freedom from this pain factory, which we call the world. The thing is that no one seems to realize that the true self is unchanging. It's the same. We have to use the word time. It's timeless, but it's unchanging, and as long as we're going through time, we're enslaved by it. Real liberation and freedom is to get out of time into the timeless state, which is a non-mental conceptual state, and there's no memory there, also no idea of an individuality, so as a result, there's no pairs of opposites, and we are free in that state. But that state has always existed. It's here right now. The thing is that we have to uncover these veils of the five senses in our conceptual thinking and our conditioning, and remove those veils to get to that state, which is not an easy process. The yoga, real yoga tradition, goes back thousands and thousands of years, and many of the things that they worked on and discovered there still hold true today. The real stuff and techniques do not change regardless of the changes here in this world. But very few have really got where they can control the five senses, or what they call pratyahara. These senses are absorbed back through the kundalini or spirit, and so it gives an entirely different I'll have to use the type of consciousness or awareness. Try to imagine something without the five senses working, and you'll get some idea there. But that's the first stage of concentration, is that pratyahara, and from then on comes the other stages of concentration. So actually, the concentration on a single object or one pointedness is the beginning and really end of yoga. And all the techniques and them were devised to aid this concentration, which eventually achieves samadhi, which is a timeless state, and liberation and freedom. Regarding the part that sex plays in real yoga, they are called the restraints. Produce not a yogic state, but a purified human being superior to the ordinary run. This purity is essential to the succeeding stages. The purpose of sexual abstinence is a conservation of nervous energy. Yoga ascribes major importance to the secret forces of the generative faculty, the expenditure of which dissipates the most precious energy, weakens cerebral capacity, and makes concentration difficult. It must be added, however, that sexual abstinence, brahmacharya, means not only abstaining from sexual acts, but also burning out carnal temptation itself. Even Crowley admitted that you had to abstain from sex in order to concentrate the mind. I believe he was into yoga a little bit. He was an Indian, practiced it for 2 or 3 weeks, and as far as he admitted that he had not achieved samadhi at the time of the Book of the Law, or also the vision and the voice, and as a result, you can see that the five senses were still throwing up images and so on and so forth. The Book of the Law is really secondhand knowledge. It's not a direct perception or knowing from a concentrated point in timelessness. Now, timelessness is not even aware of what goes on here in this mechanical world of Malkuth, but also our time equals memory. So really, as long as one's got a memory, they're still in time, and as long as one's got an eye, which is also a mental concept or a memory, they're also in time. So there's really much to digest, and real good information on the yoga tape for those who are sincere students. For other people, it will just bore them. While one is in Asam Pranata Samadhi, all consciousness vanishes. The whole of the mental functions is blocked. During this stasis, there exists no other trace of the spirit citta outside the impressions, samskara, left behind by its prior operation. If these impressions were not there, there would be no possibility of return to consciousness. Here, we are confronted by the existence of two sharply different classes of states. The first series is achieved by means of the yogic technique of concentration, dharana, and meditation, dhyana. The second class consists, in fact, in a single state, unprovoked in stasis rapture. Undoubtedly, even this asampranata samadhi is always the result of the yogi's prolonged efforts. It is neither a gift nor a state of grace. It could hardly be achieved before the kinds of samadhi embraced in the first class had been sufficiently experienced. It is the reward of innumerable concentrations and meditations that precedes, but it comes without being sought, without being provoked, without express preparation for it. That is why it is called a rapture. Obviously, differentiated in stasis, Samapranata Samadhi consists in a number of stages. This results from the fact that it is perfectible and that it does not achieve an absolute, irreducible state.